Hello guys and welcome to Odds on La Liga, match day 34 and many things happened since last time we talked. Álvaro, we have new champion of Copa del Rey, Betis, great game we saw in Copa del Rey. We also enjoyed the Champions League semi-finals with two defeats of the Spanish clubs and Real Madrid can be crowned champions this weekend, so a lot of things going on. How are you, Álvaro?
Very well, thank you, Edu. To be honest, it's been a pleasure to be pretty much a neutral spectator of football over the last week because we have had a beautiful game at the Etihad, 4-3 for Manchester City. Real Madrid is still alive. Then the cup final was sensational as well. It was decided in the penalties, but it was a box-to-box game with many chances for both teams. I think that Betis played very well, and Borja Iglesias was, for me, the player of that final. And generally speaking, it's been a very nice week for football. And you wonder if one of the reasons why the Champions League has been so entertaining is because there is no away goal rule anymore. Because I think that that's the reason why Real Madrid attack more than they would have done it if the away goal rule prevailed, you know? And same thing applies for Manchester City. So, you know, it's been excellent so far. And I think that this week can get better because the second legs are coming up, but also because Real Madrid can be crowned champion. And because watching Barcelona suffer, in a way, is a sort of entertainment too. Because lately they've been really, really bad and they are giving chances to the lesser teams to get 3 points at Camp Nou.
Of course, we have to talk about the La Xavineta, no? The Xavi's van that is completely broken and they are having again trouble. So let's analyze everything about Spanish football here. Leave your comments as Ankur is doing right now, blaming Eder Militao for his mistakes, of course, in the Etihad Stadium. Hello also to Blue Shark. So guys, don't forget to press the like, subscribe, and now let's go on with the show. And we have one game on Friday, very interesting. Sevilla-Cádiz. I'm sure, Álvaro, all the Sevilla fans were in their homes for the last week in Seville because they had to see their rivals getting the Copa del Rey title. It's a very special week, this one in Sevilla, because they have their fair and it's very emotional and entertaining. And usually, Sevilla teams drop points when they are celebrating the fair in that town. But this is an important game because Sevilla, they can nail the second spot of the standings. Finally, they won against Levante, and because Cádiz, they have to fight against relegation. They lost against Athletic in a very strange game. I'm sure you watch it. First half for Athletic, second half for Cádiz.
Very strange game because Athletic Club Bilbao scored 3 goals, and this is something that normally doesn't happen. I think that the last time they did it was against Levante at home. But yes, Cádiz conceded 3 goals against Athletic Club Bilbao, but they weren't terrible. They weren't terrible. Look, if you don't mind, I'm going to start talking about Sevilla because it's been a very tough week for them. Betis has won the Spanish Cup, and obviously, you know, Sevilla were thinking that maybe this season they could play a final in their own city because the Cup final was played in Sevilla and the Europa League final is going to be played in Sevilla as well. This hasn't happened. And the truth is that Sevilla's season has been a little bit of a downer, really, because look, we can go to any possible market or any possible aspect and we will see that Sevilla has been below par. For example, Sevilla has scored only 63 goals this season in 47 games in all competitions. This is pretty much nothing. Pretty much nothing. 49 league goals in 33 games. So Sevilla hasn't been very entertaining. And defensively, as good as they have been, they haven't made such a difference with their defense. That's why in the Champions League they were out in the early stages. That's why they got out-muscled and outplayed at West Ham ground. And I do know that Sevilla has had many players in the sidelines, but this season has been worse than Lopetegui's first one, because in the first one of Lopetegui, they won the Europa League, and Lopetegui's second one, because in the second season of Lopetegui, Sevilla, fourth qualified or third qualified, had a 15-point gap with Real Sociedad, who was fifth. So I think that no one put in doubt last season that Sevilla was going to qualify for the Champions League, but this season, qualifying for the Champions League is not going to be easy for Sevilla. It's not going to be easy at all because Betis is there. Betis is challenging the Champions League spots and Sevilla must win. So Sevilla has gotten in this, a period of the competition, instead of fighting for titles, fighting to keep the fourth spot. So the season has been a little bit underwhelming and definitely disappointing for Sevilla. Look, they are playing against Cádiz. Cádiz is 17th with 31 points. And in the last 10 games, they have lost only 3 games, which is decent. And they have beaten Barcelona and Villarreal, for instance. So, Cádiz has a certain danger right now. In their calendar, they have to play against Sevilla, Real Sociedad, Real Madrid. That's difficult, but they also have to play against Elche and Alavés. And I am sure that they will try to defend very well in Sevilla's ground and to make sure that they get a good result. But I'm going to back Sevilla this time. Why? I'm basing on their league form at home, which has been good. Also because only 2 clubs have won at Sánchez Pizjuán this season, Lille and Real Madrid. I don't think that Cádiz is that kind of team. And because Sevilla at home this season, they average at least 2.1 goals in the league at home. So I think that this tells you that maybe playing at Pizjuán, as good as Cádiz has been lately, playing at Pizjuán can be too much of a test for Cádiz. So I'm going to back Sevilla to win, and I'm going to spice it up with a combination. Asia Handicap corners -1 for Sevilla. All that together gives you 2.36.
Okay, Sevilla to win 2-0, for instance, maximum is telling us 2.3. Sevilla winning straightforward for Ancur. I was mistaken, by the way. The Sevilla's fair starts on Sunday, so they can be at their home on Friday and beat Cádiz, also fighting for the relegation. Alavés, Villarreal. Probably they will play their second team as they did when they played in the quarterfinals of the Champions League. Emery has the squad to rotate heavily in this game. They also have to win if they want to play in Europe the next season in the Europa League. And Alavés is a kind of easy ground, Álvaro, to play. They are almost in Segunda División. I think that defeat against Mallorca is almost definitive. Thanks, or luckily for them, no, they are facing this kind of Villarreal that is going to be easier for them to beat.
Yes, of course. Well, let's start by Alavés. If we have to believe in Alavés, has to be at home, because away from home they got only one win, and at home they have gotten 5 wins this season. All that said, we know about Alavés and about their identity. They are a very low scoring team. They have scored only 26 goals, and only 8 players have scored goals for them, and only one player has scored more than 3 goals for them, which is Joselu. So the scoring threat of Alavés is very minimal. Very minimal. Then when it comes to Villarreal, well, I think that Villarreal, as you said, are going to do a full rotation for this game, thinking about Anfield. But I think that it's difficult to prepare this game for Unai Emery. I tell you why, because they are playing against Liverpool on Tuesday and they have to show initiative. I mean, it's been sold out for that game, and the stands at the Estadio de la Cerámica, they are going to be full against Liverpool. There is a certain expectation, at least a certain expectation. And then they have to keep in mind that they only have a 4-point lead with Athletic Club Bilbao, and that's the last border to play European football last season. So they have to keep that 4-point lead with Athletic Club Bilbao, or at least the lead with Athletic Club Bilbao. And at the same time, Unai Emery may be thinking, yes, but I also think about the Europa League, and Real Sociedad is only 3 points away from us. So this is very tricky to prepare for Unai Emery, I believe. Very tricky, because he will also do a full rotation. By the way, it will be better, in my opinion, for Spanish football that Villarreal plays in the Europa League next season than Real Sociedad, just based on the performances of the Real Sociedad in Europe over the last 10 years. But this is just a personal opinion. Anyway, this is difficult to prepare for Emery, but when Villarreal have done the full rotation, sometimes they have won as well because they got a decent squad, as you said before. Gerard Moreno and Jeremy Pino probably won't be featuring, by the way, because they are still sustaining injuries. So I'm going to go for one market here, only one market, under 2.5 goals. That pays 1.9. Why? Because Gerard Moreno is not playing, and because Only 5 league games at Mendizorroza this season have had over 2.5 goals, only 5 out of 16. So why not to think that this game is going to follow the same tendency? So under 2.5 goals, 1.9.
Actually, Salim is telling us both teams to score an over 2.5 goals is very okay. risky after all you've said. Álvaro, Ancur is going for Alaves as a handicap 0. Remember that Emery changed the whole team in the La Liga game in between the quarterfinals tie with Bayern Munich. So for sure they will do the same. They still have options remote, but a 2-0 defeat in Anfield was not as bad as it could have been for sure. And the other Champions League team is playing at home, Real Madrid, Espanyol. Of course, we should expect also heavy rotations from Ancelotti, even if Real Madrid only need 1 point to celebrate another La Liga title. With a draw will be enough. Ancelotti already said that they will celebrate, of course, the title if they win it on Saturday. And they are playing against Espanyol, Álvaro. They are already on holidays, even if the season, in my opinion, is being very good, especially playing at home. The atmosphere is quite strange with the manager and around the club.
I don't get it, really. Espanyol has 39 points. They are just back from Segunda División, the second division of Spanish football. They are 9 points off relegation. And even if they don't get a single point this season, they should be fine. So I don't understand it, really. But anyway, you know, sometimes expectations versus performances give this kind of results. I mean, maybe the fans at the beginning of the season, especially on the basis of how Espanyol started, they expected more. But anyway, I think that the season has been fine for Espanyol, really. Yeah. They've been fine. Real Madrid needs only 1 point. I mean, they haven't won the title already because they've got a negative head-to-head with Barcelona, but they just need 1 point. So they are going to be crowned champions. The question is when. And in my opinion, it's going to be this weekend. Of course, yeah. Ancelotti is going to rotate a lot. And no one at Santiago Bernabéu is going to complain about that, obviously. But there are a few things here that make me think that Real Madrid is going to win it. Because when Real Madrid benchers or, second unit players have been playing, they have performance, they have performed, the likes of Camavinga, the likes of Lucas Vázquez, and so on. I think that they have proven that they are quality. Even Gareth Bale could play. And, you know, having Gareth Bale over there with no pressure whatsoever, he knows that he's leaving Real Madrid and all that, can be a positive thing for Real Madrid because he can score any time. So I believe that the atmosphere is going to be rather festive at Santiago Bernabéu. Maybe the stadium is not full, but whoever goes to the ground wants to see Real Madrid winning the title. And, I think that it can be a little bit of a scoring feast as well, because Militao and Nacho are suspended and Alaba is doubtful. And Espanyol haven't won at Santiago Bernabéu since 1996. That day, a brace from Jordi Lardín, a player that probably you remember, gave Espanyol the win. So there are a number of elements here that I have mentioned. Real Madrid wants to celebrate the title now. Real Madrid are scoring goals. And also, Real Madrid best defenders are suspended or doubtful. So I'm going to go for the over 1.5 goals all together with Real Madrid to win, therefore to win the title. That pays 184. I know it's not a lot, but I believe that this is a decent value because this game presents only one uncertainty. It's the fact that Real Madrid is going to rotate heavily.
It's going to be also kind of a farewell game for Marcelo, for Isco, for Gareth Bale, for instance. Perhaps it's their last game in the lineup. Hopefully not for Marcelo, no, which is a myth for Real Madrid. This game, of course, in the preparation built up just to rest some players ahead of the semifinals, building up the atmosphere. Real Madrid minus 1.5 for Salim, over 2.5 goals. For Blue Shark, we have to take in consideration, be careful when betting on this game or putting in the ACA, that Real Madrid will play for sure with the second or third team. Then on Saturday, we have Valencia-Levante. This is a derby in the city of Valencia, a very sad derby, I have to say, Álvaro. Valencia coming from that defeat in the Copa, rumors also whether Bordalás will continue or not. In La Liga, they are all on holidays already for 1 month. And Levante They were about to come back, but that defeat at home against who was it? Against Sevilla. Yeah, it was very harmful for Levante. They will go almost for sure to Segunda División.
Yeah, let's see about Levante. Okay, I will still give them the benefit of the doubt. You know, their calendar is not easy because they are playing against Valencia, Real Sociedad, Real Madrid. But then in the last two games, they play against Alavés and Rayo Vallecano. Rayo Vallecano are already safe. And, you know, Alavés is the worst team of La Liga right now, statistically and point-wise. So if they get the points against Valencia and then against Alavés and Rayo Vallecano, I really want to see where Levante is going to finish the season. Of course, this is a derby, a local derby, and local derbies are pretty nice. In fact, in December, Levante and Valencia played and they scored 7 goals because Valencia beat them 4-3 away. So that was I think, that the benchmark to analyze this game. I think that the both teams to score market is pretty much a safe bet here, considering that Valencia is scoring the decent amount of goals and Levante's defense is very bad. And on the other hand, Levante's attack is very good. Levante will depend again on Morales, their best player. He has scored 12 goals this season. He has scored the opening goal 7 times. And Campaña may return as well. Campaña is a very good midfielder who, you know, has a really decent ball control, a decent touch. And I think that if he plays, Levante will probably be thankful to having Campaña on the pitch for them. When it comes to Valencia, well, they are playing pressure-free, that's for sure, because they lost the Spanish Cup now, and they know that they are not going to be in Europe next season. They are 10 points away from the 7th place, the 7th place of Villarreal. Valencia is not going to catch up with Villarreal in any possible way. So maybe playing, you know, with no pressure whatsoever in a local derby makes Valencia a little bit more entertaining than usual. I think that they were very good in the Spanish Cup final. This game or these next games can be the last ones of Soler and Gaya playing for Valencia, because they say that Carlos Soler may have a little bit of an agreement with Barcelona. Let's see if that happens. Gaya obviously is a very coveted left back in world football as well. Let's see. But I'm going to back here both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. Both are fine with me. Both teams to score 170, over 2.5 goals, 190. Why? Because Valencia are scoring at home and their defense is not very good. And because Levante, from all the teams at the bottom of the table, they are the highest scoring team. So why not to think that the goal market is a good market for this game?
Our friend Blue Shark said exactly the same. Both teams to score and over 2.5 goals. Salim going for Asian Handicap 0. For Valencia or Ancur, who wouldn't be surprised if Levante beats Valencia. Well, if they lose Soler and Gaya, the project is really in danger. We know that all the fans in Valencia, they are very angry with Peter Lim, and the owner, even Bordalás, could leave the club at the end of the season. So if they lose two of the captains, it's going to be a major blow for Valencia. And next game we have on Saturday. This is a good one, Atlético de Madrid. Athletic bouncing back from the worst game of the season at home against Celta. They lost their last home game, but they beat Cádiz, as you remember, Álvaro. They can still play in Europe next season, whereas for Atlético de Madrid, they are ending the season pretty bad. They drop points against every single team in the bottom part of the standings, and be careful because they have a tough calendar and they have still to qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah, and Betis is a very good team, and they are 4 points behind them, and I believe that Betis is going to try to push. So Atlético de Madrid should better get the points ASAP, because otherwise the fourth spot is in danger for them. And jeopardizing the fourth spot will be catastrophic for Atlético de Madrid, because they have to pay good wages to very good players, and it won't be easy to be out of the Champions League. So they have to make sure that they qualify for the Champions League again. This game smells of a draw for me, a little bit, if I tell you the truth. I think for Simeone, going to Bilbao and getting a draw can be about right, really. Especially because Athletic Club Bilbao lately has been very good against Atletico de Madrid. In the last three head to head between them, Athletic de Bilbao hasn't lost to Atlético de Madrid. For sure Simeone has this in mind. So a draw, something that I normally don't back, pace 315. So keep it in mind that either Simeone can be happy with the draw in this game and then make sure that they get the points at home in the next fixtures. And yes, I think that this game is also a little bit of a season-ending, curtain closing for Atlético de Madrid as well, because there are a few players who won't feature this season anymore, one of them being João Félix. They are playing at Bilbao in late April, you know, in one of those grounds that reminds you that football is still like a very entertaining sport for the fans, and you know, normally Bilbao is full as well, and in games like this on a Saturday, well, San Mamés has a very special atmosphere. Maybe this motivates Atlético de Madrid to get a draw or to get a win here. But if I have to tell you the truth, I think that maybe here we have to back something like both teams to score, which pays 202. I know that these defenses are very good, but at the same time, you know, Athletic Club Bilbao will try to please the fans, and I'm saying that it's likely that Atlético is getting a draw. And there is another market here that I do like, which is the Asian handicap plus 0.25 for Athletic Club Bilbao, for what I said before, because Athletic Club Bilbao beat them in the Super Cup this season, because Athletic Club Bilbao hasn't lost against Atletico in the last three games, and because Athletic Club Bilbao beat them last season in the league, when Atletico de Madrid was fighting for the title, and that defeat was a massive setback for Atletico de Madrid, I remember. So, Asian handicap plus 0.25 for Athletic Club Bilbao. If they win, you win. And if they draw, you get half a win, something that Atlético de Madrid would be happy with, I believe. That pays 179.
Atlético de Madrid, this season they are playing a bit better when they are playing against good teams than teams in the bottom part of the standings. Krutzen is telling us that Atlético is way better, so draw or away victory, double chance, same for Blue Shark. The next game for Atlético is the derby against Real Madrid. So they have to collect points if they want to play Champions League the next season. Next game is Elche-Osasuna. This is the relaxed game of the match day. Nothing to play for because Elche, they are absolutely safe after that victory against Betis. Away, I think, is massive. Elche being safe at the end of April with their budget and their squad. So praise to Francisco, and same we can apply for Osasuna, Álvaro. Two teams, I think, that at the beginning of the season we thought that they would be fighting to avoid relegation until the last match, and they are absolutely safe. Great season for both. Perhaps we can see goals, no, in the Martinez Valero.
Yeah, that's a possibility, of course. They've got very little to play for. You know, Osasuna, I think that they earn enough points to stay in the league by March, which is very remarkable as well. The team of Arrasate is delivering one more season in La Liga. And then what to say about Elche? When we spoke, you and I, at the beginning of the season, the beginning of August or late July, I was telling you that probably for me, Elche was one of the biggest candidates to go down. And they proved me wrong. They proved me wrong because in 2022, when we turn the page of the calendar, well, Elche changed completely. In 2022, they got 23 points. This is a massive, massive, massive point tally for a team like Elche. They are coming at the back of two wins in a row into this game. And also, there is something that puzzles me. They want to nil their last two games against Mallorca, which is okay, fine, that can happen, and against Betis. Winning 2-0 against Betis is something that is pretty difficult for a team like of the budget or of the finances of Elche, and they did it. So now they've got 38 points. If they get one more on three more, they are going to be fine. Even with 38, I think that they could be fine. So they are going to stay one more year in La Liga. And yeah, it's been fantastic for them. Since I believe that Osasuna knows that they are almost mathematically safe, and Elche, I think they need a point or three to feel that they are safe as well, I'm going to back Elche to win here. And this is my highest bet of the show. That pays 2.95. But also, I can downgrade a little bit the bet for Elche And there is a range of bets that I like here backing the home team, which is Elche to win, as I said before, Asian Handicap 0 for Elche, 205, or an Asian Handicap of plus 0.25 for Elche. Exactly. The Dick of double chance. If they win, you win. And if they draw, you get half a win. That pays 172. And if we go to the goals market, one that you very rightly suggested, I think that you can find a decent value as well. Both teams to score here, 202. This is very good as well.
Almost everybody agrees that is worth it to put our money in Elche to win or Asian Handicap 0, if you are more cautious, Salim, Blue Shark or Sarwar is telling us, of course, Elche beat Betis. Betis, they were thinking in the cup final. Elche with Javier Pastore, remember that he spent his time in the city.
Edu, I don't remember anything about Pastore this season. Any single action.
Random signings in La Liga, remember that Javier Pastore, once upon a time a legend for Palermo or PSG or even playing for Roma, is in Elche's squad. Then, talking about signings, next game is Granada-Celta, and Granada, they have a new manager, is Aitor Caranca. He was already in the bench in El Metropolitano. He got a draw with Granada, so one precious point, but be careful because Granada, they are in the bottom three, and this is a massive, massive game, Álvaro, against a team that is always a nightmare for us, for bettors, because we never know what Celta is able to do.
Completely, Edu, I totally agree with you. They have been really inconsistent, not necessarily bad, but it's very difficult to predict what Celta are going to do. In fact, this season they have won back-to-back league games only once. You know, this is the team that Celta, this is the team we're talking about. A team that wins, loses, draws, but there are no narrative patterns anywhere. The only thing we can say is that Iago Aspas is still their best footballer and that when they have a decent day, they are entertaining to watch. But then they don't produce positive results on a weekly basis. They just don't do it. And when it comes to Granada, look, I still want to see what Aitor Caranca can bring to this team. Obviously, he got a few days to do coaching, which is brilliant because last week we didn't have La Liga football. And I'm sure that this has been very important for Aitor Caranca to get to know the players, to pass on his ideas as well. And Aitor Caranca is rather defensive, so I'm sure that he will try to improve that back line of Granada, a defense that has conceded 56 goals this season. They are the second worst defense in La Liga. So Aitor Granada has a task ahead of him to improve that very quickly. And, I think that it's very difficult to predict this game. What I do know is that Cádiz has a very difficult game against Sevilla. And Cádiz is 1 point ahead of Granada. And Mallorca is playing at Camp Nou, right? So maybe Granada sees in this game week an opportunity to get 3 points while Cádiz and Mallorca don't get 3 points. So I find it so difficult to predict that I'm going to go only for one market. And I apologize if you think that this is too speculative or too conservative. I don't know the way you see it. I'm going to go for the Asian Handicap. Corners minus 0.5 for Granada. The home team attacking slightly more and getting one more corner than the opponent. That pays 223. And I'm going to stay there because, as I said before, betting on Celta is an absolute nightmare this season.
Salim or Blue Shark are going for over 2.5 goals because, of course, Celta have the firepower and Granada, they are terrible in the back. But, as Álvaro is saying, be careful because Caranca is quite defensive and they actually defended quite well against Atlético de Madrid. Perhaps also is a handicap zero for Granada, no? Being the team that they have to something to play for, but I couldn't also rule out the Celta winning at Los Cármenes. Very difficult,
Very difficult.
Next game is Rayo Vallecano, Real Sociedad. What a week for Rayo Vallecano. Now they are absolutely safe. They haven't won away in La Liga. They traveled to Barcelona twice and they beat Espanyol and Barcelona. So now they are safe. What a season for Rayo. Remember that they are a newly promoted team, and this is an interesting game as well for Real Sociedad after losing with Barcelona, probably undeservedly. they need to bounce back. There is still some possibilities to go to the Champions League. I don't think this is going to happen, but to secure Europa League, no?
Yeah, Real Sociedad are having an all right season, and the fact that they are still 6 points away from Atletico de Madrid tells you how bad Atletico de Madrid season has been, I believe, really. Yeah, very bad. One of the main problems of Real Sociedad is that they are not scoring goals this season. I know that Isak has a very good reputation, that he's still young, but in my opinion, he will never be a superstar because he is not as effective as a striker should be, or a top striker. And same thing applies for Sorloth. He missed a couple of really good chances against Barcelona. I like the work ethics of Sorloth. His physical presence is very imposing as well, but then he doesn't score many. And of course, if you don't have Oyarzabal with you because he got an ACL injury and he's going to miss the remainder of the season, and let's see if he is ready to play World Cup 2022, well, the season is very difficult for you. Real Sociedad has scored only 32 goals. Just to give you some examples, Levante has scored 41, Granada has scored 36, Elche has scored 36, Celta has scored 36. Real Sociedad is a very low scoring team this season, but in the fine margins, they are getting the points. They've got 55, which is good. They are better than Villarreal because Villarreal has 52 points only. For this game, Silva probably won't be featuring, which is always bad news for football and especially for Real Sociedad. And Rayo Vallecano, well, they beat Barcelona. I think that they should have drawn against Barcelona, but they defended very well in the second half. They had a plan. They interrupted the game a lot and Barcelona couldn't find the rhythm. And they've got 40 points right now. The game of some of the players of Rayo Vallecano was very good. I think that even the goalkeeper Dimitrievski was sensational as well. So why not to think that this game can give Rayo Vallecano a small chance to wave goodbye to their supporters for having been so loyal this season. So I'm going to go for the following. An Asian handicap of plus 0.25 for Rayo Vallecano. I'm not saying that Real Sociedad are going to lose. I'm going to say that if Rayo wins, you win. And if Rayo Vallecano gets a draw, you get half a win. And I think the money over there is very good. 184. But as I said with Granada Celta, maybe this is not my favorite game to put a bet this week. However, if you go to Elche Osasuna, or to Español Real Madrid, or even to Barcelona Mallorca, I think that you can have more certain ways or sure ways of making your money.
Mm-hmm. There is some value on Rayo Vallecano, of course, especially because in the first part of the season they were brilliant playing at home and Real Sociedad have a lot of trouble scoring. That's why also if we check the goals market, Salim is going for under, Crutzen is going for over 2.5. Over pays a lot, Crutzen, because the bookies don't expect many goals. Over is 2.4, under 1.6. I guess we should expect under.
Yeah, we should expect under, if anything, because Real Sociedad has conceded only 31 goals this season, and they are the second best defense, no, sorry, the third best defense of La Liga. So, you know, I think that Rayo, as entertaining as they are not a scoring machine either. They have scored only 34. So, if you go for the goal market, I think that the under 2.5 goal is more reasonable and more realistic.
It's a pity when Oyarzabal is injured because without him, this Real Sociedad is a little bit lost. And the last game we have on Sunday, Barcelona-Mallorca. Be careful this one because Barcelona lost at home with Rayo, with Cádiz, with Eintracht Frankfurt in a row. The record of Xavi's victories is the lowest in recent Barcelona managers. I'm looking forward to hearing Ronald Koeman, who is talking today, actually, because his record is even better than Xavi's. And for sure, he had a worse squad. The good news for Barcelona is that Araujo renewed his contract. Álvaro, that's very important for the plans of Barcelona, and that's it. This is a tricky game, because Mallorca, they will travel, I think, with the hope to get also points.
Of course, Mallorca has to believe. The last time they won at Camp Nou was in 2008, I believe. That was the beginning of Guardiola's time, I think, at Barcelona. And I remember Aric Aduriz scoring a beautiful goal against Víctor Valdés. That was a long time ago. But yeah, the thing is that, you know, this season of Barcelona, We have seen signs of improvement, especially in the beginning of the year, up till March, and then something has happened in there. I think that the team is very vulnerable. The counterattacks of the opponents normally end up in a chance for the opponent or a shot on target. Then a shot on target is a very big difficulty for Marc-André Ter Stegen because this season he's not saving as good as he was. Then there are some players that I do believe that after watching them for 2 or 3 years, they just don't have Barcelona quality. And this is something that is costing Barcelona a lot. Every time Xavi does rotations, some of the players that come onto the pitch, Mingueza, Dest, probably Nico, still Nico, and I don't want to be cruel on him, Ricky Puig, or some other players that come onto the pitch, they don't have Barcelona quality. And this is very important as well, because Xavi has been using pretty much the same 15 players over the last 6 or 7 games, because the rest, he doesn't trust them. He doesn't trust them at all. And also, the vulnerabilities are there. Then players like Ferran Torres, that Barcelona played a massive sum for him, they are still to prove themselves. I think that Ferran is a good player. Ferran is a good player. But right now, he seems to be a little bit confused on the left. Things are not working for him, and I think that he needs a change of position. Maybe playing as a right winger is something that will freshen his mind a little bit. Dembélé, as entertaining as he is, as unbalancing as he can be unbalancing for both sides, for his own side as well, because sometimes there is a tendency in Barcelona to pass him the ball because he can dribble past anybody, but then he is lacking the end product. He doesn't provide many assists for the amount of dribbling he does, and he doesn't score many goals. So there are plenty of things to improve for Xavi. There is plenty of homework to do. And when it comes to Mallorca, well, they are coming into the Camp Nou thinking that, this is a possibility to get the 3 points. Why not? Rayo has done it. Cádiz has done it as well. So I'm sure that they will have the belief with Javier Aguirre. But for this game, I'm going to back Barcelona because them losing 3 games in a row at Camp Nou, even dropping the 3 points for 3 times in a row at Camp Nou, that is something that normally doesn't happen. It doesn't happen with any big club in Europe. So I'm going to go for the following. Asian handicap corners -3 for Barcelona because they will attack more and because they play with wingers. And Barcelona to win. You put that together and that pays 2.43.
Also, Blue Shark is going for over corners. Well, we have to expect Barcelona to bounce back, but I think we also expected them to bounce back against Rayo Vallecano. It's the first time in many, many years that they lost 3 games in a row playing at home. So, yeah. At one point, they have to react. I mentioned that Araujo renewed his contract. This is good news. The bad news is that also Sergi Roberto renewed his contract. Barcelona fans have to stay with his captain one more year. And Álvaro, we have one more game that is going to be played on Monday. We have Getafe-Betis. Let's see if Betis, they are hungover still after the triumph in the Copa del Rey with Joaquín saying that he's going to stay one more year. He's a myth and great player, and he's always very funny when he talks, and even he has the quality, but Betis also have to focus in La Liga because they have the chance to play Champions League, which would be the cherry on top of the cake of this great season for Pellegrini. But Getafe also, after that victory against Celta, they are almost safe, but still, Álvaro, I think they need probably another victory to be more safe, no? Only 5 points away from Granada. I think they are only one victory away from safety.
Yeah, and I think that, maybe this game presents an opportunity for them. Since Quique Sánchez Flores took over, Getafe at home has been very good. I will never stop saying that, since the 26th of October, Getafe has only lost one league game at home. They started the season really badly, but since late October they have only lost one game at home, and it was against Villarreal. But Real Madrid, for example, lost here. Athletic Club Bilbao drew here. Even Valencia got a draw here. So Getafe has been really good at home lately. So I think that we have to keep this in mind. And Betis, of course, you know, they had a very long week with the celebrations. I am sure that some players, they probably didn't look after their diet for a couple of days after winning the Cup Final, which is absolutely fine because they won the Cup Final. And this means that Betis are going to be in Europe next season, in the Europa League. The question now is, will they have the means and the tools to qualify for the Champions League? I think that they have two tools to try it, and they should try it. It's pretty much an obligation for them now. If they win the Spanish Cup and they qualify for the Champions League, the season will be fantastic for them. And qualifying for the Champions League is going to help Betis do some transfers that they really want to do. For example, apparently they want to get Isco, because Isco's contract expires now in June, and Betis wants to get him. But of course, Isco will have a very high salary. But if Betis qualifies for Champions League, then they will be able to pay Isco's salary, you know? So I think that it's going to be quite interesting to see what Betis does right now. If they are complacent with having won a title and playing in the Europa League, or if they really go for it. There are some players in Betis that they are having an excellent season. We talk about Canales and Fekir, yes, but the other day Borja Iglesias was a really dominant striker in the Cup Final against Valencia. The other day William Carballo was a phenomenal midfielder. And then the way some players took their penalties, you know, even Miranda, with such a confidence. Well, we have to give a lot of credit to these players and also to Manuel Pellegrini for the work he's been doing. And when it comes to Getafe, as I said before, at home they've been very good. They are scoring goals at home. I never expected Emnes Unal to be so such a deadly finisher. In fact, Emnes Unal is the third best scorer in Spanish football right now with 15 goals, which is unbelievable, and only two penalties, by the way. So I think that both teams to score is a very good market here because Getafe are scoring goals, they've got Emnes Unal, and because Betis, we know that normally they attack a lot, they score a lot of goals. So both teams to score, 2.07. I love it.
Okay, Álvaro, another match day in La Liga. This is getting to an end, but still we have some games left. 1 month still of Spanish football. Let's finish the video with your ACA.
Very simple. Real Madrid to win. Congratulations for winning the title if they do it.
Wait.
Over 1.5 goals in Real Madrid Español. Asian Handicap corners -3 for Barcelona. And Valencia Levante over 2.5 goals. All together, 9.39.
Ancelotti would become the first manager ever to win a La Liga title in the 5 major leagues that we analyze in Otspedia. So, Álvaro, let's see if we have champions for next week. Otherwise, we still can make some money this match day. Thank you, Álvaro. Thanks, everyone, for watching us. See you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.